Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.
Dobar dan, pozdravljeni v tokratni južni hemisferi, v kateri bomo govorili o Boko Haram, nigerijski teroristični skupini. Zadnje dni se o njej namreč več govori, saj so 14. aprila, to je pred dobrim tednom, izvedli napad na obrobju nigerijske prestolnice Abuje. V napadu na avtobusno postajo je bilo 71 mrtvih. To pomeni, da vkljub več mesecev trajajoči operaciji nigerijske vojske, med katero je bilo o samem poteku akcije ali pa mogoče tudi uspehih zelo malo poročil, napadi so se v tem obdobju nadaljevali predvsem na severu države. To pomeni, da kljub tem množični operaciji in res obsežni operaciji, ki je vključevala od vojaških napadov do izklopljanja mobitelov do policijskih ur in podobno, da kljub temu Boko Haram še ni popolnoma uničen, niti ni tako v slabem stanju, da ne bi več mogel izvesti napadov v prestolnici. Tako da bomo v nocojšnji južni hemisferi, današnji južni hemisferi oziroma govorili o Boko Haram, govorili bomo z dvema študentoma po rodu iz Nigerije, ki pa delata doktorat na londonski School of Oriental and African Studies, to sta Ata Barkindo in Bala Mohamed Liman. Ata Barkindo je trenutno prav v severni Nigeriji, kjer je pač žarišče teh terorističnih aktivnosti Boko Harama, zato smo ga za začetek vprašali, da opiše situacijo na tem območju.
Yeah, the situation here is pretty uncertain. I'm right at the northern Nigeria, at the border with Cameroon, in a place in northeast, in Adamawa state, in a place called Ganye. It's about 2 to 4 hours drive by car into Cameroon. So the situation is pretty okay, but it's very tense, it's uncertain. There are military soldiers all over the place. You have lots of military checkpoints. So the lives of ordinary people are actually affected. There's curfew, you know, on ground. People are constantly being checked. And so you do not know where the next bomb is going to come from. You do not know where the next attack is going to come from.
Kljub temu, da je diskurs sploh v medijih v zadnjem času upravičeno z Boko Haramom predvsem teroristični in boj proti terorizmu, pa ima Boko Haram dolgo zgodovino, predvsem pa na teh območjih, kjer zdaj deluje tudi teroristično, ima neko zgodovino družbenega gibanja, podobno kot Hamas recimo v Palestini, kjer ne gre samo za terorizem, ampak so dejansko usporedna vlada. Zato smo Ato Barkindo vprašali, če lahko tudi za Boko Haram rečemo, da je delno družbeno gibanje.
I think Boko Haram is a combination of almost like everything. It's actually started as, you know, some kind of a domestic political infighting that is within Borno itself, within Borno state. And eventually, religion became a kind of a mobilizing factor. Because here, it's very easy to use religion to mobilize people to do what you want to do. So this group now started by completely getting out of the city of Maiduguri into a separate place because they could not stand the political corruption. They couldn't stand the kind of immorality that was taking place. And so they came up as a kind of Islamic Puritan kind of a group trying to purify the society, trying to get rid of injustice, to get rid of corruption. And so over time, the solution of the military, particularly the government, the policy was that of military assault on the group. And so when their leader was brutally killed, the group eventually went underground and then started kind of insurgency strategy. So they became very serious insurgents with kind of terrorist activities. And that's why today they operate as cells. They don't go in large numbers. They don't come out clearly like before. Before they were transformed into what they are, they were going about freely, giving leaflets, preaching, talking about their messages and all that. But completely now, they have changed strategy. They have gone on the ground. They divide themselves into small groups. They do guerrilla attacks here and there. And because they speak the local language, they know the terrain very, very well. They know the people they can recruit through family ties, business groups, business networks. And that's why they have been able to transform themselves in the manner they have. and they mostly operate around Borno and Yobe and parts of Bauchi and Adamawa State. But now I think that they are beginning to operate as what they call the lone wolves. They send individuals to carry out these attacks on their behalf. So for now, this is pretty the situation.
Tudi Balo Limana smo povprašali o tem, kako Boko Haram delno upravlja tudi nalogo države in skrbi za čisto vsakodnevne potrebe prebivalcev.
The thing is with this kind of group, it's a lot of factors that are all intertwined together that have given rise to it. Initially, when Boko Haram was there and they were talking about religion, the whole idea was just to impose this fear of a Western kind of ideology. They wanted Islam to be the main focal point. But gradually, as the economic factors have crept into those regions where there's huge poverty and there's huge unemployment, people have found solace as they've used these groups as, like I say, a tent, a safety net. And because of that, it's easier for these groups to now convince them because they are able to provide them with food and normal basic needs in society. So it's easy for them to recruit a lot of these people that don't have anywhere else to go. They can't, government doesn't support them in any way. Government doesn't provide any kind of safety net. So it's been quite easy for these groups to find this kind of willing followers.
Kot smo slišali, torej militarizacija Boko Harama v zadnjih letih sprememba njihove taktike. Zato smo Ato Barbinda vprašali, kakšna je zdaj podpora lokalcev po tej spremembi taktike, ko ne upravljajo več zgolj naloge nekih socialnih servisov, ampak tudi napadajo.
We cannot say that generally people are in support of this group. People are very angry with the activities of the group, particularly the violent aspect. I know that their ideology is shared by a few radical elements, particularly within certain Islamic groups around. But it is not a general atmosphere that everybody in the North is in support of this group. That is not true. Everyone in the North is not, particularly them, because this violence has affected everyone. It has affected people's businesses, people's ordinary lives. But somehow, people who are out of job, young people who don't have jobs, young people who are really tired of the corruption in government. If this group were solely attacking government installations, arresting politicians, killing politicians for the corrupt activities, I think they would have found some support. But because the group now is after very soft targets, harmless civilians, people who have actually nothing to do with government, and I think that is where people like don't like what the group is doing. But there is no kind of general support for the group. But I know that there are certain elements within ordinary people who actually like support some of the things that this group are doing. And that is why some of the frustrated, deprived young men are easily ready to join the group. Because if you come into Nigeria, there's a massive, massive level of unemployment, of frustration, lack of jobs, lack of empowerment. So when you have this kind of young people littered around the streets, you can see that it is a fertile ground for recruitment. So within that kind of group, there's a kind of silent support that probably, you know, is going on for Boko Haram. But this support is not general and it's not across the board.
Slišali smo torej lahko, da Boko Haram rekrutira ljudi predvsem na podlagi slabega ekonomskega položaja, ideologija pa je islamska, oziroma je, ne bi bil glavni cilj vzpostavitev islamske države, ki edina s svojim šeriatskim pravom lahko odpravi nemoralnost in nepravilnosti, ki se trenutno dogajajo v politiki in zaradi česar prihaja do slabega finančnega in socialnega položaja prebivalcev. Ato Barkinda smo zato vprašali, če Boko Haram kot svoj cilj navaja vzpostavitev islamske države ali izboljšanje ekonomskega položaja lokalnega prebivalstva.
The goal is actually changing as the conflict goes on. They come up with new strategies and the goal keeps changing. At the beginning, they were simply interested in kind of this radical Islamic movement that wants to purify a society, to get rid of corruption and get rid of injustice and install, you know, a kind of a Sharia government within Borno State. So with time, that goal expanded to include installing Sharia all over Nigeria. But you know, you have to understand that there's a difference between the goal they want to achieve and the method they use in achieving that goal. So the beginning, the method was simple preaching, simple giving out leaflets. But when their leader was killed, they started attacking police stations, they started attacking government installations. And with time, that kind of method also changed. They went about even kidnapping girls for ransom, kidnapping journalists for ransom, attacking United Nations headquarters. And then with time, this expanded even beyond Nigeria. They went into Cameroon, you know, and they even went as far as Mali to get their training. They went as far as Niger to recruit people. So they are even suggesting that there are some evidence of kind of link, you know, with Al-Qaeda, particularly in the Maghreb. And even with time, the group split into two. We have now Boko Haram, we have Ansaru. Ansaru is accusing Boko Haram of attacking soft targets, civilian targets. They do not want that. They want Boko Haram to join the entire Islamic Ummah that is fighting to restore, you know, the dignity of Islam kind of around the world. So you can see that the goal keeps moving domestically, regionally, internationally. But I think that they have been so weakened, they can no longer carry out external international attacks. So now most of the attacks is targeted within Nigeria. But ordinary people within Nigeria, the general atmosphere is that, look, these people just want to have a change of government. It is because the president of Nigeria is a Christian. They now want to have a Muslim as a president. And this is the kind of general interpretation you will have here in Nigeria. But I think generally at the beginning they wanted to install a radical Islamic kind of Sharia law. But that is actually not feasible. And so they are extending now, claiming to be fighting corruption, claiming to be fighting injustice, claiming to be fighting immorality in the society, and that it is only Sharia law that can bring about justice and morality.
Get
Dobrodošli nazaj v južni hemisferi, kjer tokrat govorimo o Boko Haramu. To je teroristični oziroma družbeni skupini v severni, ki deluje predvsem v severni Nigeriji. Zgodovina radikalnega islamizma, ki mu pripada tudi Boko Haram, je na tem območju precej dolga. To govorimo o območju severne Nigerije, severnega Kameruna, Nigra in Čada. Zato smo Ato Barkinda, enega od naših sogovornikov, sicer pa doktorskega študenta na Londonski School of African and Oriental Studies, poprašali, če nam lahko na kratko opiše zgodovino radikalnega islamizma na tem območju.
I think radical Islam has actually been, it started with the Sufi movement of this, the Damfodio Jihad, with the Fulani Jihad that actually came from Sudan. He waged a very, very serious kind of jihad here in northern Nigeria. It was basically a Sufi movement, but a Sufi movement with the goal of establishing a Sharia law. And he actually succeeded the whole of northern Nigeria as far as the middle. But because of the British colonial system that came in, that advancement was stopped in middle belt region of Nigeria. So they couldn't go further. So by the time the British came into Nigeria, already Islamic rule had been established. With, you know, the whole of West Africa now, it's only Nigeria that has the caliphate, which is called the Sokoto Caliphate. So the British like went into agreement that, look, we are not going to interfere with your system, but we are going to rule over all Nigeria, but we are going to allow the Sharia courts to function, we are going to allow the Islamic schools to function. We are not going to interfere with that. But I think with time, there was a sense that the Western kind of system brought by the British has failed them. So radical Islam started growing again in northern Nigeria, particularly after the Iranian Revolution in 1979. So we found all these audio cassettes and leaflets calling again for complete Islamic law, particularly in northern Nigeria. And so you find movements like they call it the Izala, the Islamic Movement for Reformation. The Muslim Brotherhood started coming in. Even with the Shia movement started coming in. People started building all kinds of mosques in northern Nigeria. The number of Islamic schools increased. There were audio cassettes all around the place. And that was when we had the first serious kind of Islamic Jihad, which is called the Maitasine, immediately after the Iranian Revolution in 1980. They called them the Gardawa Movement. It killed a lot of people, particularly in Kano and in Yola in Adamawa State. And so that radicalization has actually been ongoing, particularly when the government started sponsoring pilgrimages to Mecca. They don't monitor when Nigerians go to Mecca, who they see, who they discuss with, the kind of money they come back to in this country, the kind of mosques that are being built, what are being taught in these mosques, Islamic schools that came up, what are the curriculum that are being taught. All these things were actually not monitored. And so during the 2001, when the September 11th struck in the U.S., we were shocked in northern Nigeria, particularly in the city of Kano and Maiduguri. People were wearing even T-shirts praising Osama bin Laden. I mean, it was very, very shocking for us Nigerians. So that kind of radicalization has actually been ongoing. And when Nigeria returned to multi-party democracy in 1999, during the military rule, it was able to be suppressed and monitored because it was military rule. Massive abuses of human rights were not kind of documented and were unaccounted for. But when we returned to multi-party democracy in 1999 and opposition was opened up, that is when this kind of Islamic radicalization became very, very strong. Because in 1999, the first state that implemented complete Sharia law was Zamfara. All the other 19 northern states in Nigeria, out of them about 17, adopted this, but they were not completely implemented. So when Boko Haram emerged, that was one of their demands. They wanted complete Sharia law. Women cannot wear trousers, people cannot drink beer, people must leave beards and all this kind of stuff. So that is the extent to which it started and the level we are at the moment. So I think that there's so much money coming into Nigeria, it is not monitored. Radical Islamic schools have been built, mosques are emerging, all these things are not monitored. The government sponsors people to go on pilgrimages to Mecca and even to Jerusalem for Christians. What these people learn, they are all not monitored, and they all come back, you know. And recently, the government has approved a building of Quranic schools to be sponsored by government funding. And that, too, is not a very good policy, because you already kind of stigmatize these schools. Students graduating from Quranic schools may not be able to work in banks, in other institutions. So at the same time, economically, you are still going to exclude the students from participating in economic benefits.
Še ena pomembna delitev v Nigeriji je odnos med severom Nigerije in jugom Nigerije. Jug Nigerije je pretežno katoliški, sever pa pretežno muslimanski, bila sta pa tudi v zgodovini, predvsem med v času britanske kolonialne nadvlade, razdeljeni v dve različni administrativni območji. Bala Liman nam zato pove, kako ta delitev vpliva na konflikt z Boko Haramom.
Later became two regions, the northern and southern region and the eastern region. And the north was predominantly, the core north was predominantly Muslim, and it was Muslim education, and most people are not educated in the Western sense of education. So there's always been that divide in terms of development of education in both sectors and in both regions, and this has remained so even after independence. So the north is not as developed economically, socially, as much as the south is. So there's a huge gap inequality in statistics when you look at the two regions, and that's still the case now.
Še en spor, ki tudi vlada na severu, pa je odnos Boko Harama do lokalnih sicer muslimanskih političnih elit. Tudi oni, tudi njim namreč nasprotujejo, saj upeljujejo zahodni način vladanja. Več o tem Ata Barkindo.
Yeah, they are very, very angry with the local Muslim elite who collaborate with government, who collaborate with Westerners. Because they believe that all the corruption and the immorality in Nigeria is brought about because we have the Western system of government. And all these people who are in this government claim to be educated in Western universities. And they claim to be Muslims, but yet they come and practice corruption, immorality, things that are not approved by Islam. And so that is why the Muslim elites have become targets for Boko Haram, because they feel that they are collaborating with the Western system, and then also that they are not very genuine in their Islamic practices. So the only way to do that is to eliminate them. And that is why the Muslims, and it is not only the elites, today even Muslim students who are in universities, as far as even secondary school, college students, they have been killed, they have been abducted because they have this ideology that, look, Western education is responsible for all the immorality.
Na drugi strani pa je seveda odgovor nigerijske federalne vlade. Ta je bil kljub temu, da smo videli, da so razlogi, predvsem če ne kulturni, pa predvsem socioekonomski, torej slab socialni status prebivalcev na severu, je bil odgovor vlade kljub temu predvsem vojaški, z vojaško prisilo in v tem prevladujočem diskurzu vojne proti terorju. Del tega je sicer tudi dejstvo, da zaradi takega spopadanja s problemom dobivajo predvsej financiranja strani Združenih držav Amerike, vendar smo vseeno Ato Birkandija vprašali, kako komentira odgovor, vojaški odgovor vlade.
I think that the government overemphasizes the issue of the war on terror. The policy of the government also changed over state. The first policy, the reaction of the government was to dismiss this group. This group, they are just rabble rousers, they are ignorant people, they are just motivated by poverty. They will just die with time. We will crush them with time. Then suddenly the government realized, look, this group is a serious group. They changed from using machetes and bows and arrows, you know, to using guns and very sophisticated bomb explosives and all that. So the government now changed its policy. The government changed its policy by militarizing the zone, you know, deploying military jets, military checkpoints, ensuring that there's curfew, there's emergency law. And then at the same time, this is now not working. So the government now is trying to negotiate with them. But, you know, at the beginning, if the government had negotiated with this group at the very, very beginning, probably this problem wouldn't have reached the way it has reached. So the government for them is that these guys are simply terrorists, and terrorists must be crushed. But I don't think so. There's so much kind of economic deprivation in Nigeria. So for me, even if today you crush Boko Haram, if you don't improve the economic conditions of the people, another group probably worse than Boko Haram may emerge. Because there's a lot of political and economic contestation going on, particularly in northern Nigeria.
Še eden od strahov, povezanih z Boko Haramom in njegovimi nasilnimi taktikami, je prelitje tega nasilja tudi v sosednje države, ki so prav tako, recimo temu, politično nestabilne. Komentira Bala Liman.
People have looked at, tried to identify the connection between Boko Haram and some of the more radical groups from the Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb. But I think there's a greater link. I think evidence shows there's a greater link between Ansaru, which is a different group which is situated more in the northwest of northern Nigeria. There's a greater link between them and maybe some of the more radical groups. But there's been no evidence to show, and because African borders are quite porous, the argument is that Boko Haram finds it easy to move across borders, but they haven't really done anything across any border, and there hasn't been any clear link that they any kind of joint operation between themselves and any other groups outside Nigeria for the time being.
Za konec smo Bali Limanu zastavili še eno morda malo težko vprašanje, namreč kaj so alternative temu militantnemu pristopu vlade k reševanju tega problema z Boko Haram?
I think they have to change the narrative. I think, and they have to involve the people of the area that are involved, that are the people that live in those areas. Because if the narrative doesn't change, if it continues to be a battle against terror, and terror seems to be winning, and actually the people of the area are actually suffering for it, then sympathies will still be, it will still be very difficult for them to sympathize with government's actions. The military option doesn't seem to be working, so government has to find another way of trying to engage Boko Haram. They tried that before, when the former president Obasanjo tried to talk to some members of the late leader. Unfortunately, that member that the president spoke to was killed. But there has to be another avenue, has to be open, where dialogue has to begin, because we need a ceasefire, because the level of violence in that area now is just escalating rapidly. And obviously, from all indication, the government doesn't have the powers to actually rein in this insurgency. So they just have to look for a new narrative and a new way to approach this. The military option definitely isn't working.
Tokratno južno hemisfero o na teroriste zreducirani skupini Boko Haram je pripravil Jaša z Makisom za mešalko.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.